Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Wilson, Stan Norfleet. That was the Hack Song of the Week.
Was it?
I think it was. I think we've learned something about Hack Song. By the way, happy Have Friday, we? Everybody. It's a football Friday. We've got Scott Fowler of the Charlotte Observer coming up in just about 40 or 50 minutes here at 11. Math is tough for me. Dick Gabriel, sidelines for the Kentucky Wildcats at noon. Plus the bequeathal. We've got the Jim Selenia Gold Brick at 12:40. 11:40, it's Radio Tinder, but that was the Hack Song of the Week. Ambitious? Some good writing in there. I'll be honest. Hacksaw can't really sing very fast, so it was tough to try and hear what he was saying because he was struggling to sing fast.
Can Hacksaw sing slow? Hacksaw just can't sing.
Okay, but he really can't sing fast.
I need to hear that at least three more times.
You want to hear that three more times?
No, I'm going to, because I don't know what I just heard.
Okay,
I do know that
fair.
It is a football Friday. I'm happy to be in the studio here at FNZ. That's my man, Nick Wilson. Itty bitty fitty, board op /
perv.
You Full said blown it, I did. Pervert. That's Josh back there.
Morning, boys.
What's going on, Metro Liner?
All right, guys. We want to hear from you guys. What grade are you giving your Hack Song for the Week, The Sweet Child of Mine, rendition? I do need to hear it. You're going to hear it again at 11, you're going to hear it at 12, and you're also going to hear it at 1:40, where Hacksaw will join the show, and we will berate him or otherwise. But in the meantime, as it is a Football Friday, Stan, we've got to get into the Panthers in Vikings game. And yesterday, we did the vibe check. I think if you heard the Mac Attack today, you heard an extension of a vibe check going on for the Carolina Panthers. And I think the general sentiment is we felt really, really good about this game about two games ago, and now we feel less good about this game. And the reality is, you heard Mac pick against the Carolina Panthers.
Couldn't believe it.
I think this is a game where I think a fair amount of people, Vegas, has the Vikings as a one-point favorite despite this game being in Bank of America Stadium. I think this is a game where the Carolina Panthers are finally going to have to put four quarters together for the first time all season long, because we just have not, whether it's the third quarter, whether it's the second half struggles, coming out of the gate flat, they need to put four quarters of football together to win this game.
Interesting enough, after yesterday's practices, the good folks at Caesars have now taken this game overnight from -1 Minnesota to now the Vikes are up to 2.5.
Is that the McCaffrey news?
It's got to be the Mac news.
If you guys have not heard the Christian McCaffrey news, of course, Wednesday, Matt Rhule, Panthers head coach, said he was 50-50 to play in this game. Well, this was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network this morning on a Christian McCaffrey update after yesterday's practice.
Meanwhile, for Christian McCaffrey, this does not appear to be good news. He had been limited really for the past week or so, seemed to be headed in the right direction to get out on the field after having a hamstring pull himself, and then was a DNP yesterday. From what I understand, just didn't feel 100%, did not feel right. That does not indicate that he is going in the right direction and really calls into question seriously whether or not he'll be able to come back on Sunday.
So unless this is yet another version of the okey-doke, unless this is all about the Panthers throwing everybody off their scent, which would be interesting if they were continuing to try and play mind games with the other side of the field there, I think we can indulge the idea of the Panthers winning this game. But I think to answer the question, the Panthers win if... I think it does start on the ground. I don't care if Christian McCaffrey is playing in this game or not. As it pertains to winning and losing, I know it looks like Dalvin Cook is probably going to go. So what you cannot have happen is
which could have impacted that Vegas odds as well.
Absolutely. What you cannot have happen is what happened in the Dallas game, where because you didn't have Christian McCaffrey, you diverted away from the run game early in the second half, and that really widened the margin as Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard ran the ball down your throat. I think the Panthers' run game, you need at least 30 rushes in this game. You cannot allow Dalvin Cook and the Minnesota Vikings to control the ball, control the time of possession, and you go away from the run game. Go with Chuba, trust Chuba, let him go as far as he can go in the run game.
This is the same blueprint that I brought up going into the Cowboys game. You do not want to get in a shootout with even a guy at Kirk Cousins' level. That offense, they've got as many or more weapons than you do. This, to me, is literally like playing Dallas now that we know it's likely Dalvin Cook will play. They got two backs. They've got receivers. They've got tight end. Like, you just don't want to do this. Slow the game down. Keep Kirk Cousins and that offense on the sideline. To your point, more things happen or more things can go wrong on a pass than they can on a run. The offensive line, which has been porous, we'll talk more about them throughout the day.
Please no.
They're more comfortable run blocking. Chuba has proven that against a solid Philly defense, not great, solid. He's proven that he can carry the load. If McCaffrey goes or if McCaffrey doesn't go, I'm with you. There should be a certain amount of rushes within reason. That's just eating up clock and giving your team a chance.
I think some of this is about protecting Sam Darnold from his worst possible self.
Which comes to where my point is. You go ahead.
I mean, I think you look at that Dallas game, right? As soon as Dallas scored those two touchdowns on shortened field, the panic that I thought I saw happen was that they just said, all right, Sam, get us back into this game. Despite right. the fact you were only down by 12 points and you still had 18, 19 minutes of clock time to work with. You cannot do this. So much, you know what? Listen, I hated this thought process because it sounded cheesy and collegiate when they ran with it. Do not beat yourself. The Minnesota Vikings are a team that can beat themselves. And the Minnesota Vikings are a team that because of Dalvin Cook, because they just have veterans everywhere, up front on defense, they've got veterans on the offensive line, they've got dudes, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, right? They've got professional football players.
I mean, look at the back end, Breshad Breeland, Harrison Smith, Xavier Woods, Patrick Peterson, even the back end are dudes that have seen a ton of pro football.
So to me, running the game is not only you don't let them beat you with Dalvin Cook, it's also take the pressure off Sam and literally take the pressure off Sam so that you don't feel, or so that Minnesota defense, which can get after it, which can get after the quarterback, doesn't feel like they get to go ahead and just pin their ears back and go after Sam Darnold. That is how you start to beat yourself if you let that happen.
Sam, number one for Fleet. Panthers win if Sam doesn't turn the football over. Sam, you just can't. Now, whether that's a shovel pass that considered an interception, whether that's trying to do too much and forcing the ball in the middle of the field, please God. And I'm concerned about this. This all this conversation with Robbie yelling and being passionate and the outbursts and all that. Don't force feed Robbie at the sake of compromising the chemistry you have with DJ. Now, I challenged Joe Brady yesterday, scheme the ball to Robbie, but within the confines of the offense. Sam cannot. Five interceptions in the last six quarters. And how many of those resulted in points or ended the game?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't give a team like this opportunities, especially because I can tell you Minnesota's formula. Sam gives the ball to Minnesota. It is likely they're going to put points on the board. Minnesota is accustomed to being in tough fights. If you look at who they played better competition. Like, don't do that.
I also think in what you said, because you had said no turnovers for Sam. Yeah. I think one turnover, you might be able to survive. You did that against the Saints, right? Sam had his first interception of the game in that Saints game.
And it almost came back to haunt.
Well, no, I mean, it led the Saints directly 2 points. So you've proven you can overcome a turnover. You can't overcome, I don't think this is a game where you can overcome 2 interceptions if you are Carolina. And certainly he's coming off a 3-interception performance against Philadelphia. The question we're asking you guys here to start today's show, it is a Football Friday with Nick and Stan. This is a big boy game for the Carolina Panthers. It's important that they stop the bleeding of the last 2 weeks and specifically the last 6 quarters here. This is a team that will beat you if you let them, and they'll beat you a lot more handedly than the Philadelphia Eagles did when you let them beat you against Philadelphia. So the question we're throwing out to you guys to start the show today is the Panthers beat the Vikings if... ... I've said need at least 30 rushes on the ground. Not 30 touches for running backs. Not, 30 just for Chuba. 30 rushes on the ground is the start of a winning formula. Stan has said Sam Darnold has got to chop down
the football, man.
The turnovers here. We've got a lot to get into. Scott Fowler, the Charlotte Observer, joining us to talk Panthers football at 11 a.m. We've also got Dick Gabriel, sidelines for Kentucky Wildcat, the biggest game in college football this weekend, Kentucky versus Georgia. He'll join us at noon. Radio Tinder at 11:40. The Gold Brick Ceremony at 12:40. The Hacksaw Grading and the Bequeathal at 1:40. It's a loaded show. It's a Football Friday. But more importantly, Nick picks were not respected last night. Sports Radio FNZ.
He's got all day, he's got Brown, he's got a touchdown. No pressure on Tom Brady, and wide open was Antonio Brown with his 4th touchdown of the season. 23 yards, and Tampa Bay back on top.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, that sound courtesy of Tom, of Fox.
Courtesy and, of Tom Brady.
The greatness was courtesy of Tom Brady last night as he had 2 touchdowns. The Buccaneers get the 28-22 win over the Philadelphia Eagles. My biggest gripe about this game, though, Stan, Nick picks were not respected. All right? Yeah. I went to bed right around, it's got to have been around third quarter, the end of the third quarter, because they were leading 21-7. And I just thought, there's just no way. This game's over. Bye-bye. Almost immediately, in the fourth quarter, you saw the fourth quarter touchdown to completely ice the game. And then Philadelphia disrespected my Nick picks. Every day at the end of the show, at 1:40, we have the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick. And yesterday, I said, I laid the points, and which was, I think it was a 7-point, although I think the final line was 6.5. But I laid the 7 points, and I took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers outright. And Nick Sirianni, who is an awful head coach with some real just awful NFL offense on the board, decided to put up, math is so hard, 15 points.
Yeah, in the second half.
In the fourth quarter.
They scored a touchdown in the third, and then they had the touchdown and 2-point conversion in the fourth.
To go ahead and desecrate the Nick pick.
15 unanswered to end out the game.
Philadelphia's just, and I don't mean like the city or even Eagles fans, although I might mean about Eagles fans, but the Eagles are just an annoying team to me this year. They annoyed me with not just laying down and losing that game last week. They've annoyed me, and once the game was lost, putting up needless points here. And Nick Sirianni annoys me because watching him try to coach a team offensively is one of the most hapless experiences. It feels like he is the bless your heart candidate of the 2021 coaching season.
I just want to ask Sirianni, why does Miles Sanders only have 9 carries when he was averaging 6.2? And had ripped off 1 for 23 yards. Like, I never quite understood. I told you this last week coming off the Panthers game. I don't understand their offense.
Mm-hmm.
They go too lateral for me. You know, Jalen Hurts missed a throw or two. They have some offensive pieces. The offensive line is not what it was. Lane Johnson, third game out. They're starting an all-pro right tackle for personal reasons. But it's just been, like, their pieces don't mesh. Now, I'm going to give him time, benefit of the doubt. He reserves the right to be able to flip the roster, same as Matt Rhule has done.
Well, I just think,
only 9 carries for Miles Sanders.
And this has been kind of a pandemic in the NFL. Look at a lot of the teams who are 4-1 or 5-0 right now in the NFL. They're in terms of giving up air yards. I mean, Tampa Bay is bottom 10 in the NFL in the amount of yards they've given up. They've given up like 380 yards per game through the air going into this game. But where they stop you is on the ground. So teams are saying, go ahead and throw all over where you want to get to, because once you get in the red zone, we're just going to stop you. That's the NFL game today. So for Nick Sirianni to basically punt on running the ball, and he did it against Carolina, if we're being honest, too. Mm-hmm. And now Nick Sirianni would say, well, we got 10 carries for Jalen Hurts. One, not all of those were designed carries.
And it took him too long to – the moment they ran the read option with Jalen Hurts like they ran on the Panthers on the goal line, mm-hmm. I think it popped for a 16-yarder. Like, what took you so long?
Well, but even then, even with 10 carries by Jalen Hurts, you only had 19 carries. The Buccaneers.
Total.
The Buccaneers had 31 carries.
Leonard Fournette's 22 carries was more than the entire run game of the Eagles. And by the way, Leonard Fournette, if you didn't see the game, he's back to looking like LSU Leonard Fournette. That brother is toting the mail. Now, some people will say, well, Stan, he only had 3.7 on average. That's true. But look at those two touchdowns. It's the conditions that the yardage come under.
I also think, I think I might be out on caring about yards per carry in individual games. I think what we've seen both with Carolina in that Saints win, what we saw in the first half where Zeke was bottled up the most, he had been bottled up in the Carolina-Dallas game. The most important thing with the run game is just to continue running it. And on the Tampa Bay side of things, the biggest news to come out of here, other than Tom Brady playing really well despite having an injured thumb in this game.
He kept fooling with it during the game, too.
He did. The only real thing that was the big story here was the Richard Sherman injury. So now you've
hamstring. Yeah.
You've lost pretty much all of your starting backfield or your defensive backfield. Yeah, and now Richard Sherman on his third game in 12 days. What did we talk about yesterday with Thursday Night Football? Mm-hmm. He went out there and had an oopsie on his hamstring as well.
People talk, Stan, you always talk about running the football. Yeah. Listen, Tampa knew Philly could make a comeback. What tells me that? Like, there was a recipe here. Some of that's Tom's thumb. That's a grocery store chain.
It is. I just thought about that. It's also a child story, I believe. Or character. Tom Thumb.
The Bucks had the ball for 40 minutes. And if you play anybody and you only give them 20 minutes with the football in an NFL game, your likelihood to win is considerably better. So they decided, look, it's not about the yards per carry. It's about the overall, we're just going to keep throwing punches to the body. And eventually Philly's going to cave. And Leonard Fournette did what they did. And then the other thing is cashing in the red zone, Tampa last night, 3 of 4. Thing that almost cost them, 7 penalties for 120 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they also took the foot off the brake late in that game.
Good, which is not something you see from Tom Brady teams. That's just not something they believe in.
I thought it was more they took their foot off the gas defensively. Like, I didn't.
But I'm just saying, he in practice, he's telling them, hey, you can't be doing that. Y'all are going to cost me a win, defense playing like that. But I get what you're saying.
But, like, they did, to your point, they kept running the ball with Leonard the whole game. But it was more like they felt like, all right, we're done here. It's ironically, it's a little bit similar to what we saw from the Panthers defensively in that second half where they just weren't as crisp as they were in the first half. I thought it was interesting. Fournette, coming off the 22-carry, 80-plus-yard performance, he had something to say about the Buccaneers moving to 5-1 despite the conditions they faced this year.
I wouldn't believe him. I wouldn't believe him. But like I say, we have guys that if anyone go down, they can back up. It's not a drop-off with this team, and that's the special thing about us.
He's not wrong.
He's not. Winfield didn't play. Gronk didn't play. Levante David didn't play.
Like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have given, because of the injuries, They kind of gave the rest of the, you hypothetically, they could have given the rest of the NFC and the rest of the AFC a chance to go ahead and build up a little bit of lead on them. They haven't. Like, the defense has not been who the defense was that helped you win the Super Bowl last year. They've not been great. A lot of that is injuries. But this offense is better than they were last year. They're averaging, I think, 2 more points per game. They were averaging 30 points per game last year on the whole. Now they're averaging 32.5 points per game. Brady's better. You can tell they're starting to run the ball, which they were one-dimensional early in the season. The fact that the Buccaneers are 5-1, and yes, there are a lot of teams that are either 4-1 or 5-0 in the NFL right now, everybody should be on notice that Tampa Bay's been able to get through this early part of the season without being the full-dimensional offense that they've played, without the defense they've had, and with just injuries here and there.
They're plus 51 in scoring differential. They're taking it on the road. They're 2-1 on the road, undefeated at home. Tampa's doing everything a playoff team should be doing at this point. On a 3-game win streak, they've played some competitive teams. Like, they're playing real teams. Tampa, and I said this last year, coming off that Super Bowl run, they're going to be better this year. Now, the injury bug has got them a little bit, especially in that secondary. But the secondary was an issue in last year's run, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Tampa's going to be there, I believe, in the NFC Championship game when the dust settles. The opponent remains to be seen at this point.
I just can't help but marvel over what, and I hate doing this.
They're fantastic.
Because I'm not the biggest Tom Brady fan in the world.
You don't say.
Yeah, but you have to marvel at what they've been able to do here. And being able to go 5-1 with all the injuries and all the muck. Like, Arizona, feel yourself all you want. Dallas, feel yourself all you want. Green Bay, the Rams. I mean, there are plenty of 3-2 teams as well, including the Carolina Panthers. That, you know, that's what last night really did show me, was
the difference in Carolina and Tampa.
Yeah. And because
same opponent in Philly.
Because Tampa Bay is so much more hurt and dinged up than you are. Like, yeah, you've got CMC, and yeah, you've got Shaq. And yeah, you've got JC, but their injuries are almost everywhere. And yes, they do have more natural talent than you do. This is the defending Super Bowl champions. But that game was over early in the second. You know, this really was never a game, even late. I never felt like Philadelphia was truly back into it.
I'm not there. When Philadelphia scored, so it's 21-7 at the break. Philly goes, so that made it, when it got to 28-14 in the fourth quarter, I was like, okay, it kind of reminds me of the Panthers game a little bit. So it teased me with just enough that I thought it was a game. My thing, what jumped out off the screen to me, and I hadn't seen the All-22 tape, Tom Brady had all day to throw the football. To see the disparity between the Panthers offensive line and Tampa's offensive line, Tom Brady not sacked, 3 quarterback hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many pressures, but if you watch the game, he was not under duress much at all. I was fascinated with that offensive line allowing the Leonard Fournette to get going in the run game and the way they protected Tom.
So we threw out the question for you guys for the Panthers this weekend. The Panthers will beat the Vikings if. And we've asked you guys to finish. Now, we're going to bring that back with Scott Fowler. You're going to hear that throughout today's show, because I think it would be easy just to say, well, we think the Vikings are going to win. But I think that's not putting the emphasis where it should be, which is where the Carolina Panthers have the opportunity to beat a good team on Sunday. A team with who can beat themselves. But I think to this game last night, I'll also ask you, watching this Buccaneers team move to 5-1, I don't even care who the opponent was, because they've done such a good job of only having one loss up against a pretty tough schedule overall. How far do you think how far do you think the Panthers are off that? And I'll say it, that the culture that the Buccaneers showed last night and have shown through 6 games with all the injuries.
Oh, man, they're ways away now. And that's not being disrespectful, Charlotte. That's just being real. Tampa has leadership at the position that you got to have leadership in. They have consistent, excellent play calling. Like, Tom is a coach on the field, but then you have Leftwich, who's going to be a head coach over there, standing next to Arians, who has a Super Bowl ring calling plays. They have an offensive line that they have clearly invested in draft capital as well as in free agency. Like, they've identified the area. Playmakers everywhere. We haven't said the name Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. But to be able to plug in Antonio Brown from last year and he just picks up where he left off in the playoffs, it's how, I don't know. What do you want me to do? A percentage? Do you want me to do best out of 10? Like, it's a sizable gap, which is okay. Matt Rule's just in his second year. What is it now? 16 plus five. What is it? This 21st game? Mm-hmm. 21 games? It's still early, but it's noticeable.
Well, and I think the reason why it's an important conversation is up until last week, you were tied with them for first place in this division. And now they're getting better despite not really getting a lot healthier. I think the Panthers are showing that they still need to learn how to win from week to week, whereas Tampa Bay is showing you that they can win
they
in spite of.
To win.
Yes.
They know because of who's under center and who's calling the plays. When we go out there, more likely than not, we're going to win.
That was Thursday Night Football. Again, Nick picks were not respected by the Philadelphia Eagles. I want Nick Sirianni fired. That's Nick on Nick crime. But we got to continue on with the show here. And there are a lot of ways to lose, but not like that. Sports Radio FNC.
Balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go?
He did! And the game ends!
Boy, what a way to end the game. This.
Oh man, boy, that's bad.
I don't think he went.
It's bad.
Can't end the game that way.
Sports Radio FNC. That is the final call of the Giants and Dodgers. And I'm laughing. I'm only laughing because the emotions that you heard there, which were basically bless your heart emotions, is 100% the way everyone should look at the way the Dodgers-Giants game ended last night. And if you guys didn't stay up, because it was a late one, because baseball's thought here is, let's go ahead and make this game as late as humanly possible. Like, nobody stops. You're asking people on the East Coast to stay up on a Thursday night. With Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football.
Knowing that you're competing against the NFL.
You're asking them to stay up till midnight 30 to go ahead? Anyways, if you guys missed it, you're not alone. But the final at-bat, Wilmer Flores against Max Scherzer, it was a 3-2 count, and there was a check swing. Upon further review, one, the ball was not a strike. Upon further review, two, he checked his swing, and it wasn't really even close. I'll side with what the announcer said in this. You can't let this game. You can situational awareness matters. You can't let this game end on that call. This was a historically blown call that we haven't really seen in a playoff atmosphere, something like this, since the Sean Payton pass interference on the sidelines that cost the Saints the trip to the Super Bowl.
Nick, I do think the check swing was close. That's the part I thought was close.
I agree with
everything else you said.
I've watched it about 150 times. I don't think it was any
150.
Let me put it this way. Yeah,
have you been doing this morning?
It was only this. I've been up since 4 a.m. watching this clip and only this clip.
Two picks in your eyes.
I always try to put it like, if this was a game with absolutely no meaning, if this game was the Pirates versus the Orioles. June 4th, both teams already over it. One team's got a 10-0 lead. It's the fifth inning. You just want to go home and see your family. It still wouldn't be a punch out. And that, with the least stakes possible, it would not be a punch out. And to me, what the umpire showed, the first base umpire who called it a strike, showed a complete lack of situational awareness in every single freaking sport. The final 2 minutes of an NBA game.
See, that's where you and I differ.
But this is the reality. It may be not how you want it to be, but reality is the refs swallow their whistle in the final 2 minutes of the game.
We do this all the time in the NBA, and I know that's where you were going. We do this in playoff football and NFL. The hits they allowed Patrick Mahomes to take, we see it now, the replays from the Super Bowl of Shaq Barrett and Dominican Sue hitting him in the helmet. Those do get called in the regular season. In that moment, they did not. So I understand your point. But there are always guys. I've heard countless former players. The one that's in my mind right now is Shannon Sharp of FS1. Shannon Sharp is like me. All you can ask as a player is, regardless of the situation, be consistent so that I can be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because what starts to happen, if we start to accept that at certain moments in the game the rules change, then it starts to, quite frankly, chip away at the integrity of the game.
So there's a few things here. One, it wasn't a strike. So I have a problem with the fact that it was way out of the zone and he even attempted to swing it. So bleep, by Goma to Wilmer Flores today. I have a problem that the check swing was just, it was, nope, all right, game's over. You know what the other part of this is?
It's interesting why they can't review that.
It's also this call, the reason why, and because this goes back to the situational thing. I know what the first base umpire was thinking. He erred on the side of, that's Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer gets that call.
You think it went in real time? You think the ump is thinking about that?
Yes.
That's Max Scherzer on the ball.
I guarantee you there is a bias for, and listen, I think the bias in baseball happens less on plays like this than we talk about great NBA players getting a foul, great NFL players. But I do think Max Scherzer is part of the 1% of baseball. Max Scherzer comes on in the bottom of the ninth inning here to get the save. I think if that was Corey Knebel who started the game, or if that was Kenley Jensen who pitched the inning before, I don't think the call's the same way. So I think I would rather you err on the side of, and Vin Scully said this before the game. Great Dodgers broadcaster said he thought this was the most important game in the history of the Dodgers-Giants rivalry.
Mm.
Because of what was at stake, because of how this had played out, because of the fact it was 200+6 win teams, that to me is the more important context. But I think it just lacks situational awareness. And you know what? Here's another thing that bleeped me off about this game. Gabe Kapler, ultimate bro, Giants GM, who I've come around on. I've made fun of Gabe when he was in Philadelphia.
Said the ultimate bro.
A lot. This was when he was asked about the check swing. This was his mellow, crunchy groove on losing the game.
Super tough. I mean, obviously, you don't want a game to end that way. I know these guys work really hard to make the right call, so it's super challenging on our end. Obviously, it's going to be frustrating to have a game in like that. High-quality hitter at the plate that can climb back into that count. It's no guarantee of success at the end of the at-bat. It's just a tough way to end it. There's no, for especially right now, there's no need to be angry about that. I just think it's just a disappointing way to end. There are
just
other
cut it off right there.
Today's baseball
excuse
game,
so the bleep it. Out of me.
The man there's, said he's not going to overreact. There's nothing he can do about it.
This is the moment you overreact.
To do like at what
Tony
outcome?
La Russa would have dropped dead at 76 years old if the White Sox on the final play of the game got jobbed by an ump in a clear situation where it was just the wrong call. Gabe Kapler. Well, you know, I'm going to go listen to some 311.
You can't do
and,
that,
after
no.
that, I'm going to, you know, toke a doob, and then I'm going to go walk on the beach, and I'm going to, you know, like.
What do all the old timers say? And I'm going to lump myself in there because I grew up in a different era in football and in sport, quite frankly. I remember 80s NBA. Yo. We love the human element of officiating. We say it all the time. Now, what we have is the technology to complement. I'm mad that it's not reviewable. I'm not mad that a human ump made a call.
Oh, no. I'm mad that Gabe Kapler isn't mad. I'm mad the call got wrong, and then Gabe Kapler is like, I'm not going to be angry about this. Burn it down, Teshes! That's what I want Gabe Kapler to do.
What's my man that used to coach at Temple?
I want a full-blown adult temper tantrum to come from Gabe Kapler. The idea that Gabe Kapler was like, yeah, man, that sucks. I guess...
Gene Chaney. Chaney, what do you want? You want Gene Chaney going at the collar part.
Yep.
I'll whoop your bleep. Uh-huh. That's what you want Kapler to say to the officiating
crew.
No, he
doesn't have to say it to them. But in your post game, when you're like, man, yeah, really sucks. Yeah. By the way, I'll have the filet, yeah, and some asparagus on the side.
Stop it.
And some ranch. This is the one opportunity as a coach or a manager when you were clearly jobbed. And again, let's not forget the historical precedence here. You are going to go to the NLCS if you win, right? The rivalry, right? 107 wins. If there is one time, and baseball has become this sport where, hey, guys, I'm just happy to be here, and just a happy little accident there, and we're going to go all Bob Ross. No, this is one time.
John Chaney.
Every manager gets the creative license to Hal McCray the bleep out of it, and I had to edit myself, and Gabe Kapler was like,
what outcome? What's the purpose of blowing
showing
up?
Showing your locker room that that was unacceptable. Raise hell. What? Get Sean Payton's punchable face on trying to change the reviews. Go all the way. This is your one chance. This is one time. No one's going to be like, man, turn it down a little bit, Gabe. No, nobody. If Gabe Kapler had lost his mind, took a baseball bat to his desk, and said, bleep this, you're season. Cool, it's out.
Nah. Does it change the outcome of what happened this year?
That is not the point.
That is the point. No. It is about
blowing off steam, showing your team you care, and it's also
about... So the team doesn't think he cares?
Hey, guys. Really rough out there.
Oh, stop this. You know
Let's
what?
Go ahead
no,
and listen
you're teetering
to some
on
fish
that bleep.
Here.
No. That's like saying you're only a good coach if you bark, yell, scream, eat grass, cuss, slam your visor down.
I'm not asking Gabe Kapler to do this all the time. I'm asking him to do it this time. That's the difference. I'm usually with you. But there are times where you should lose your bleep. The check swing, which was in my opinion, a clear not, he did not go around. He clearly checked his swing to end your chances and to end your season against a rival, against a Hall of Fame pitcher. That's when you lose your bleep. It doesn't matter if Major League Baseball will be like, yeah, we got it wrong and good for you. Bleep you. See you in February. It doesn't matter. This is not about a results-based outcome. This is about letting everyone know that bleep sucked and that bleep cannot happen again.
Make up your mind for those that agree with Nick. Talking to you, Charlotte. Do you want the human element in the game so that we have the emotion of sport? What you and I are engaging in right now is why we do this. It's why players play. You don't want to play against a robot. You want to be coached by a robot. You want the human element that goes into the fandom. All of that factors in to the pageantry and the vigor of what it means to consume sports, to participate in sports in this country.
Hey, bro. Yeah, it's rough, rough going, but, it's just rough, bro.
Where was this energy when the Saints came up short?
You know, but I'm going to go out to my Cali Beach house, bro. Going to invite a couple tasty chicks over.
Ridiculous.
We're going to go ahead and listen.
You're being ridiculous
right now.
We're
going to listen to some Allman Brothers and Rock-A-Doob. It's okay.
You own
it's all right.
Friday.
It's okay.
It's Nick on Friday.
Hey, bro, it's okay.
Playoff Nick.
We lost the game. Historical rivalry.
Playoff
you're right,
Nick
bro.
Wants to throw his hat.
Scott Fowler finishes the sentence, the Panthers beat the Vikings if, next on Sports Radio FNC.